Hello, welcome to the Tim Price Christian Life and Leadership Podcast. I'm so glad that you are joining me today. I'm looking forward to sharing this list of things that we wrote about on the blog post this morning. You can visit the blog anytime, timpriceblog.com. And today I want to share a little bit about how our joy will grow when we treat ourselves well. I don't want this to be a total focus on ourselves. As Christian believers, we are called and sent by God to live out a life of faith, and our focus is on Him. But in addition to that, we have this opportunity to respond to Jesus' call to love others as we love ourselves, and to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And each of those things presents opportunities for us to do our best to be healthy, and for our lives to have the kind of discipline and the kind of ways that we can make sure that our joy is there and that we enjoy life because we're not hindered by something going on. Not all these hit on all cylinders all the time, but I want to share this list and look forward to jumping in here together. A great attitude in life comes easier when our bodies and minds are healthy and strong and disciplined. I recently read a book called Just Choose Happiness by Nell Money, and the thought occurred to me, the book's practical steps, and that's what's listed in the blog post, really is one way that we can live joyfully, along with our ultimate source of joy, knowing, loving, and serving Christ. These responses in our daily lives can really be a reflection of offering our best to Him. And so this verse I just read at the beginning of the podcast here from Luke 10:27, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. It reminds us that our spiritual lives, our physical lives, our mental capacities, and our desires and passions are all linked together. We choose to love God with everything we have, and therefore we give Him our best. And I know a list like this can seem overwhelming, and I often will read a list from somebody and think, oh man, either I'm doing it well or I'm not doing it well. And either way, I don't have much more time in life to add other things in. So I don't want this to be a burden for you, but I just want to invite us to be thinking about the fact that since all these are tied together, and since we want to honor God with our whole lives, and since we probably want to live with more joy, then these are some of the disciplines and habits that we can put together so that we are able to experience that even more. Now, I just want to clarify again here that the ultimate joy comes from Christ in us. The ultimate sacrifice of Christ for our sins, giving us salvation and new life. There's a lot of things that can be going wrong, and we can still be grateful. So this is kind of like the icing of our response to say, Lord, we want to live our lives in such a way that we are honoring you and that we are a witness, and that these little practical things will really sort of help set the stage for loving others well as we love ourselves. So are you ready for the list? I don't really have them numbered on the blog post, so I'm just going to share these here and maybe share a few stories about some of them. Exercise regularly. That's number one. I know this list is going to sound like some sort of, you know, magazine article you pick up somewhere, and it is pretty practical, but exercise is not one of my favorite things to do. I'm always trying to figure out how not to do it, but it doesn't work very well because I'm amazed at my changed outlook on the days whenever I make exercise a priority. I usually will do something for a while, and then I'll kind of change gears and do something else for a long time, and I realize that I'm not as diligent, and so I need something to freshen it up. My most recent freshening up of exercise time was when I purchased a recumbent exercise bike. And in addition to purchasing it, my brother helped me build a little desk that sits on top of it. And so I'm able to sit there and type away on my laptop. And I have found that to be a great way to stay motivated. And it's been awesome. Before that, we had a treadmill for a while. In the warm weather, I love to walk. And that's pretty much my exercise. And I try to do it as much as possible. And the days I do, I definitely notice. So that's one thing that helps not only keep your body healthy, but it brings joy. You have this freedom of knowing that you have gotten your heart rate up and you've done something physical. Number two, eat nutritionally. Those two are the big two, regular exercise and eating nutritionally. And if those two things were super easy, everybody would do it. So don't worry too much if you're having trouble in that area, because I know exactly how you feel. I'm not a doctor or a counselor in this area at all. This is just from the book that I read and some thoughts that I have. But you don't have to change every eating habit at once. Make some small, smart changes. And instead of giving something up, I have found that adding to it is what helps. Instead of just giving up a certain food or a certain thing, adding a couple tall glasses of water before you eat will actually make things a little easier for not overeating and things like that. I've also experienced more discipline in my life and more joy in my life when I have taken part in times of fasting. And one of those I mentioned in the blog post is called the Daniel Fast. It's a 21-day fast that kind of resembles the fast that Daniel and his friends took in the book of Daniel when the king wanted them to eat the choice food, but Daniel said, no, we just want vegetables and water and the basics like beans and whole wheat and stuff like that. And so a lot of years I have participated in that at the beginning of the year especially, and it always is amazing the type of clarity that comes and the type of joy that comes when my body isn't full of sugars and refined stuff and flour and just various things. And so you're welcome to take a look at that. You can Google Daniel Fast and find all you want to know about it, I am sure. Number three, and another one of the big three, get great sleep and rest. In my life, I've been more or less disciplined about this just out of the way I'm wired up. It's easy for me to go to bed around 9:20 or 9:30, and it's pretty simple for me to get up around 5. And this ritual of going to bed about the same time and waking up about the same time has most often helped me sleep through the night. And when things don't work out and I don't sleep through the night, too much on my mind or something went wrong, we got home late or had to wake up even earlier for some reason, I don't usually stress out. I just kind of think to myself, oh, well, I'll try again tomorrow night. Maybe I'll take a nap today if I can. But the biggest thing that has helped me get uninterrupted sleep, and I've probably said this before to y'all in this podcast, is that a few years back, I started to charge my phone in the kitchen. And that one simple step has not only allowed me to go to sleep quicker, but it has allowed me to wake up more refreshed and to hop out of bed and to get the phone and then go on with the day. I don't just lay there scrolling through mindlessly. And it is amazing to think about how much time on the days when I do for some reason have it sitting by my bed, how much time somebody might spend looking at their phone the very first thing in the morning. And so that has really shaped how I respond to sleep at night. Part of it maybe is just the science of a screen lighting up your eyeballs right before you go to sleep. And as soon as you wake up, maybe that's not good for you. I'm not really sure. Some people say it doesn't really hurt, but I know that it has made a big difference to charge my phone in the kitchen. And all you have to do is get on Amazon and order an $8 alarm clock, and you can find out the time without having your phone by your bed. Number four, pray and study the Bible daily. If we're talking about joy, then we must include this discipline, habit, and communion with God. It's more than just a checklist, although I do put it on my checklist in the morning because I want to prioritize it as one of the main things I do every single day of my life is to write in the journal and to read from my Bible app or the Bible itself, the book, and to spend time thinking about God's word. This morning I was reading from Psalm 66, verse 1, 2, and 3, and I was impressed by the fact that in the psalm, it is teaching people how to worship. It said, shout to the Lord, sing to the Lord, say this to the Lord. It was instructions on worship. And for whatever reason, I thought about that all day long. And that's just one tiny microscopic example of what it is to stay in communion with the Lord. Most years I try to follow a plan and read the Bible through in a year. I've done that the last several. And this year I decided I would read the New Testament a couple times and also just spend more time on each passage instead of the ritual of reading each day all the way through. And most mornings I spend time writing in a journal to some level and also will spend time praying. And I have a prayer checklist on my Google Calendar. It's a simple little checklist. I put each prayer on repeat so that it pops up each and every day. And I go through that list each morning and I pray for the various things that are on there, plus some other stuff that I want to think about each day. Build good relationships with friends and family. So the whole title of this is Our Joy Will Grow When We Treat Ourselves Well. And part of treating ourselves well is that we have good relationships with friends and family. And it is rewarding to have those relationships because that's what really does make life full, when we share it with others. And when we have full schedules of all work and no play, that really does not leave much time to connect. And maybe you feel like you're stretched on all levels, but even the smallest connection can make a difference. A text or a phone call or a joke to this person or a funny thing to that person. Maybe not even trying to set up time for a coffee or a big trip or anything like that. Just the simplest little things. Make some time for some close geographical connections. People around you that can be your friend, that can be there when you need them, and also in reverse, that you can be there for them, because that is what's going to bring joy into your life. A couple more of these we can breeze past more quickly, but in this book, another way to allow the joy to grow in your life is to respond to God's call and develop a fulfilling career. Now, this doesn't mean that everybody has to be a pastor or a missionary or a minister to some degree, but Christians are people who are sent. We're sent into the world in a variety of ways, and the Lord has wired you up in such a way and opened doors and opportunities for you to be in what you are doing. You may not totally love your job, or maybe you totally do. Either way, we have the opportunity to grow in faith, to share a positive attitude, to be a witness, to do excellent work, and to keep trusting God to lead us. And so as you are in your work or career, then you just continue to live your life as a believer that's doing good work each day. Take new adventures and add freshness to life. So what would it look like for you? What new adventures would you need to say yes to today? Now, some of those adventures are like out of the realm of your current possibility. Maybe it's just the schedule. Maybe there's just no time to do this or that. Maybe you're in a season of life where you have a young family and there's no way you can just take off for a week because you'd miss too much of everything. Or maybe you are thinking, well, I need to save money for other things. But adventures don't have to be expensive, they don't have to be long, and they do not have to be far. You can do the simplest of things just to get a new and fresh perspective. And I won't even try to list the options because the options are as numerous as the personalities of the people listening. There are ways that you can think right now, you're going to mark your calendar to go do something that is new, that's an adventure, that will add some freshness to your life, and that will help grow joy in you. Another one is learn to delegate and say no. I know that sounds like a business book, but if we're not careful, life will fill up with insignificant things. We have to say no to some things so that we can say yes to the things that matter. When you are saying yes to something, you are always saying no to something else. And I'm not sure where that might speak to you today, but it's important for each of us to set the priorities in our life that really are going to make the difference. And so I want to invite you to practice and think about saying no. If you go to the blog post, you can see the 6 kind ways to say no. I read that in a book called Minimalism by Greg McKeown quite a while ago, and I thought those are great. Okay, another one is to meet your problems head on. Don't procrastinate. You've probably heard the image that Brian Tracy shares about eating the frog. No one wants to eat a frog. It's basically the big hairy task that you have to get done, but you know you're going to have to do it, so you might as well do it first thing. Get it out of the way so that you can become more productive. When I often have a major task or major project, I will make on my to-do list, I'll actually say, the big project of the day, and I'll put that first. And on my good days, I try to get to where I'm going, shut the door, and get started and get it done. And then almost everything else for the day flows from there. And most often I feel like I've accomplished everything I need to just after doing the one big thing. So meet your problems head on. The best way through obstacles is just to do it anyway. Another one is to laugh more often. I'm always amazed how many times I see around people's homes the sign, laugh often. It's usually accompanied by other little quips like that, love much, all those type of things. And I think those are all great things. But I just wonder what resonates with people about that. Do people not laugh enough? And I've looked at studies before where it says that children laugh way more than adults, like numerous times more, like 40 times a day, as opposed to just the adults who laugh like twice a day. So we really do start off in life seeing the fun side of things and the interesting things that just make us laugh, the way people act and the way people live and the things people do, or the way nature is, or the way the something looks. And then as we get older, all of a sudden we become, I guess, too much keyed in on, you know, too many serious things. Like, there are a lot of serious things as you become an adult, but there's no reason that we can't enjoy life and laugh as we grow older. So one remedy to having more joy in life is to laugh more. Laughter really is a powerful tool. And I won't even attempt just to up and tell you a joke, because just a joke on a podcast doesn't seem like it would make people laugh. But on the blog post, timpriceblog.com, you can take a look at this. And there are a bunch of jokes that I've collected on my blog over the last several years. And you can just read through those. And sometimes we'll sit around a group of people or just after dinner or something, and we'll just share some of those. Not just the one-liners, but most often the riddles and the fun stories. I just learned a new one the other day, and I shared it with several people over the weekend. But I guess I could tell you a couple jokes just to check and see here if you're still with me on this podcast. Did you hear the joke about the sidewalk? Well, it's all over town. Did you hear the joke about the bed? It hasn't been made up yet. Did you hear the joke about the broken pencil? Well, there's no point. So those are terrible. If you ever want to hear some really terrible jokes, you can tune into our annual Harvathon, where we raise money for Harvest Ministry. And it's a live event where Clint Benish and I sit there, and a whole bunch of people join us. And last year was awesome. Next year will be too. And you can listen in there if you'd like. Okay, so that was to laugh more. A couple more things and we're done. And the second to last one is to learn and practice sound financial management. There's a lot packed in that one sentence. And again, if this was really easy, everybody would be doing it. But it really doesn't matter how much money you have flowing through your hands, through your home, and you know, people that live there. It's not so much about the amount. It is about the disciplines in it. And people may have very little and be content, and other people may have an exorbitant amount and not be content. So the only way to be content and to have sound financial management and joy in our lives is when we set up our money in a God-honoring way. And for Christians, that means to give the first fruits, to tithe our first fruits to the Lord. Not wait until we wonder if we have enough for the week or the month, but as soon as the paycheck comes, we give 10% to God's work. And somehow in that process, not in a formula kind of process, and not in a I paid you, now you pay me type mindset, but in a thankfulness that God blesses us with everything we have, and that we are stewards, and that we now are going to entrust our lives, our finances, our home, our well-being, everything that we have to God. And we're going to put down this stake in the ground that says, here's how I will do it. And it is amazing how much the tithe releases us from our trust in money, because money just won't do much when the chips are really down. And then the last one is another biggie packed into one small sentence: strive to keep life in balance. I was reflecting the other day that Jesus was perfect at balance. And I have a prayer request on my Google checklist that I want to be more like him every day. Jesus was great at balancing doing and resting. He was perfect at it. He knew exactly when to do things and exactly when to pull back and rest. Jesus was a perfect balance of praying and serving. And in one sense, he was probably always communicating with God, his Father. But in another sense, he was also communicating with people. And so he was serving and healing and making things happen and miracles and all kinds of stuff. But he also pulled away and he prayed. And then another thing I just reflected on was that Jesus was the perfect balance of compassion and of judgment. And that is a powerful thing, that we can love people so much that we're willing to call them to a deeper walk with Christ. And so in the church, even though there's a lot of people that run around in our culture saying, I'm not one to judge, or we shouldn't judge, or nobody should judge, or all those things, that is true. Jesus even says that in his word. But also in the word, it says that Christians should sharpen each other like iron sharpens iron, that we should make sure that we are looking inward to us as a group, as Christian believers, as the church, as disciples of Jesus. And we look at each other and say, where have we fallen? What do we need to do? How can I help you grow? And in doing that, watching for the fruit in the lives of our brothers and sisters, we are, in a sense, judging. And so we have this opportunity. But Jesus balanced it with this compassion that was a holy compassion, a love for people that was deeper than anything anyone could ever almost understand. And he put those two together. He loved people too much just to let them do whatever in the world they wanted to. He loved them, and he brought judgment all together at the same time. Perfect balance of that. And so if we are going to pray that prayer that we want to be like Jesus, our joy will begin to grow when our lives are balanced, when we have a balance of being at home, and when we have a balance of being at work, and we have a balance of being in worship at church, and a balance of being out in the world, and when we have a balance of praying and also doing all those things together, and many more that we could probably talk about if we had more time. So keeping these things going in your life is a great way to treat yourself well. It's a gift to your friends. It's a gift to your family. It's a gift to yourself. And it brings freedom to your life and your decision-making. And again, Jesus is the one who comes and takes everything that we can't do and brings it to us in fullness. John 10:10 says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And so these things really are icing. And I encourage you to take a look at the list, to listen through this list again, to pick one or two that you're going to work with, because when you do, your joy will grow. And that's my prayer for you. Thank you so much for listening, and I'm glad that you're part of the podcast here. Would love to have you share this with others and to invite others to be a part of it. One quick little throw in here is that we are right smack in the middle of the season of doing our conferences for the spring. And if you are serving in a church in children's ministry or youth ministry or just leadership in that way as a pastor or a parent, volunteer, paid, part-time, whatever your status might be, and you are somewhere in our region around the state of Illinois, I would love to have you check those out and be a part of it. We have kids conferences for grade school kids, first to fifth grade, and we have a high school conference for high school students, ninth through 12th grade. The kids conference is just called Kids Conference, and you can find more at kidsconference.org. And the Fire Up Conference is for the high school students in Troy, Illinois, and you can find out more at fire-up.org. Each of those are really cool and opportunity to help students in the next generation encounter Jesus, opportunity for discipleship and ministry and connections and community and all the things that make life full and fun. And we also do those each year. So if you're listening to this podcast not in the winter, spring, then you can look forward to the following year. All right, I think that is it, and we will talk to you next time.